40 years ago, director Ridley Scott gave us a reason to fear both space and indigestion. Aliens set a new standard for sci-fi horror. The chest buster scene is epic. A creature gets born out of an unsuspecting crew member. And filmmaker Alexandra Philippe reveals the unlikely inspiration and collaboration that led to the birth of a movie that is entrenched in pop culture. His film is part of the Documentary Edge Film Festival, and it's called Memory, The Origins of Alien. Alexandra Philippe is in Wellington, and he joins me now. Hello there.
Hi, how are you?
Great, thank you. So Alien comes out in 1979, 2 years after Star Wars, 3 years before E.T. How important is timing to the success of that film?
Well, I mean, that's the thing that's pretty amazing about Alien is that it really came out at a time when it was not supposed to be successful. You know, audiences were ready for a different kind of Alien. I mean, certainly Star Wars was a very optimistic movie. And what's interesting is you look at 1982, just 3 years after the release of Alien, when we had E.T. and we had The Thing, and audiences overwhelmingly embraced E.T. and rejected The Thing.
Mm.
So every now and then a movie like Alien comes out and resonates with audiences, not on a conscious level. And that's part of, you know, the argument that I'm making in my film Memory, but that there were ideas and images that we needed to see in 1979, that we needed to process, that we're still processing now in our culture 40 years later. And I think that's what makes Alien such an extraordinary movie.
Did the world need Alien in 1979 without even knowing it?
Yeah, in a way. I mean, I think people had this sort of visceral response, not exactly really understanding why they were reacting to it. You know, I mean, I've heard stories of there was this actually a guy who came to the world premiere of Memory at Sundance, who told me he was 15 when the movie came out. And so he ran to the bathroom and he said there were about 15 men trapped in the bathroom who couldn't face it. They knew something was going to come out, and they were just terrified. So they essentially listened to the scene from the bathroom of the cinema. You know, can you name a movie since 1979 that has had this kind of visceral physical effect on men? I can think of another one.
How does Sophia Loren connect to your love of the first Alien movie?
Oh, Sophia Loren, that's a question that I've left field. Are you talking about my childhood now?
Yeah.
Wow, you do your research. That's awesome. Yeah, no, I was I lived in Geneva. I was raised in Geneva, and her son Eduardo, you know, was a really good friend of mine. I used to hang out at their house all the time and watch movies. He would actually bring movies on VHS from the U.S. that were not even available in Switzerland at the time. And he had this, you know, huge original one sheet poster of Alien in his room. And, you know, a few years before I watched it, because I think I waited a few years to watch it for some reason, which is strange because I love horror movies. But I was absolutely entranced by the poster. Obviously, the one liner in space, no one can hear you scream. And is this, you know, this sort of perfect combination of, you know, wanting to watch that film because in a way it feels kind of taboo, especially when you're a kid. Mm. But also dreading it and knowing that it's going to give you these horrible nightmares. So I think that's what great horror movies really do. And I certainly was not disappointed years later when I saw it.
And most of us watch a movie like Alien and we're scared because it is scary seeing an alien hunt down crew members. But Are we also responding to things that we don't even know we're scared of?
Well, yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think, you know, the thing that happens with Alien, and again, I don't want to sort of give it away because I think I'm hoping people will come and watch Memory, is you know, this is a movie that taps into mythology. It's a movie that taps into our collective unconscious in a very powerful sort of primal fashion. And, you know, we talk, of course, about Ridley Scott a lot, you know, rightly so. But we cannot forget Dan O'Bannon and we cannot forget H.R. Giger. And I think that this triptych, in a way, the symbiosis between O'Bannon, Giger and Ridley Scott is what gave us Alien in this particular way. I mean, those are, you know, the imagery especially created by Giger, is, you know, informed by Lovecraft, informed by his nightmares, informed by his fascination for Egyptian mythology. There's a lot of really deep stuff that has a resonance for us as humans. And again, I firmly believe that people connected with the film much more on an unconscious level than they did on a conscious level.
Is Alien a great argument for surrounding yourself with people who offer different perspectives instead of everyone just agreeing with each other?
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing, right? It's a great metaphor. I mean, and certainly for our times, you know, this idea that we have to find a way to work together when we've got a big problem like this, you know, to solve. I mean, you look at Ripley, obviously, is such an important character. She is very much a maternal figure. You know, she doesn't start as the protagonist. She becomes the protagonist over time. And it's such a, you know, you have all these different sort of cross sections of society, you know, trying to work together, and failing pretty miserably, you know? So I don't know if that bodes really well for us in the future.
There is no Alien without the chest buster scene, of course. And the cast members, they knew that an alien was going to come out of John Hurt's chest, but they didn't know the details, right?
Right, exactly. And I think, I mean, obviously it was in the script, and, you know, Veronica Cartwright and Sigourney Weaver had actually been down to the, you know, to look at the puppet. So they had the sense of what it looked like. But nobody really knew how it was going to manifest. And the thing, I mean, you know, if you really want to look at this extraordinary scene, I think you could probably also make the argument that even Ridley Scott, you know, even as prepared as he was, as prepared as the crew was, there's a lot of things that could have gone wrong. And in fact, a lot of things did go wrong, but they turned out to be, quite frankly, serendipitous. I mean, if you boil it down to its bare essence, the chestburster is a puppet on a stick. And, you know, there's many, many ways that I can think of where it could have looked completely ridiculous. And you know, you mess up that one scene, the whole movie falls apart. So it's a testament to obviously their craft and their vision. But it's also, you know, it's also serendipity, and, you know, things happen. And look, you have to give a lot of credit to Terry Rawlings, also the editor of the film. That sequence is so perfectly timed and edited. You know, I look at it 40 years later now, and it's, you know, it really works. I mean, it's aged in the sense that you can tell it's not a movie that was made today, but I don't think it's aged in any sense that, you know, it is still as powerful as it ever was.
And no CGI in that scene, of course. Right. It makes you wonder if we've lost something in storytelling because of technology.
Yeah, I mean, I've always been a big fan of practical effects. I, you know, again, you look at, you know, we mentioned that earlier, The Thing, you know, and another movie that I think has really aged really, really well, that is still as amazingly powerful and terrifying as it ever was. So, you know, I don't know. I've always been a big fan, and I think there's something about how tactile this movie is. I mean, Alien is very tactile. You know, you look at the severed head of Ash. You look at, you know, the sweat and the steam and the blood and the chest burster and the face hugger and the eggs. It sort of takes you there, I think, in a way that CGI doesn't.
Now, your film, Memory, The Origins of Alien, is screening tonight at the Roxy in Wellington at 9 p.m. And then your next focus, Alexandra, is Exorcist.
Well, you know, it's funny because this is not at all a movie that I was planning on making at all. This happened essentially through a serendipitous encounter with William Friedkin at the Sitges Film Festival in Spain. He invited me to his table at lunch one day. He had heard a lot about my previous film, 1752, and, you know, loved it. You know, I mean, he requested a link right away, then invited me to lunch in Los Angeles. And, you know, and then essentially just basically said, look, if you want to make a film about The Exorcist, I'll give you access to, you know, to everything. And
Amazing.
so, yeah, so it's been really an interesting journey, and it's a very, very different film on The Exorcist. It's only Friedkin, and it's really sort of a deep dive into his process. We've spent 6 days interviewing him just on that, and but there's not a word about special effects. It's all about The Exorcist through, you know, fine art and classical music and classic cinema, sort of his philosophy as a filmmaker and his philosophies of life. So I think it's a film that's going to really surprise people in especially people who are familiar with The Exorcist. It's a very contained chamber piece, and a very spiritual film.
Alexandra mentioned 7852, by the way. That's the film about the psycho shower scene, and I'm desperate to look that one up. What does the 7852 refer to, by the way?
Well, the shower scene, in the making of the shower scene, there were initially 78 setups, or, you know, very distinct sort of camera shots, camera angles. And ultimately, there were 52 cuts. So obviously, a number of the angles that were shot were not included in the scene. So the 78 refers to, you know, production aspect of that scene, and 52 is a reference to post-production.
Alexandra, you're the film geek to beat all film geeks.
I'm just a film geek, and I'm a film geek who loves to really deep dive into those films and make people look at them differently. And I love to push myself and try to, you know, each time I make a film about cinema, to kind of explore cinema in a new way, in a different way, in a surprising way. And I'm very, you know, those films have been very exciting for me to make, and audiences have been very responsive, and I hope to have a great crowd here in Wellington.
You got a date with Peter Jackson while you're there? I'm sure he'd have a few stories to tell.
Well, we actually invited a bunch of people there. Unfortunately, he's going to be in a caller session this evening. So, but we they did request a link, so I'm going to send them the link, and hopefully he'll like the film. Yeah.
Great. Well, nice to have you in New Zealand's home of film. Alexandra Philippe, director of the movie Memory, The Origins of Alien, which is on tonight, part of the Documentary Edge Film Festival, Roxy Wellington at 9 p.m. Nice to chat with you, and well done on this film.
Thank you so much.